Our first reading today comes from The World Around Us, The Big Wave by John Bell. He was sleeping in the bow of the boat, the sleep of a child, the sleep of a happy child. Jesus, did you see that wave? He was sleeping, and nothing disturbed him, not the wind, not the weather. Jesus, this is getting rough. Jesus, this is getting really rough. Jesus, did you see that wave? The sound of the sea, the sound of the pounding, the break of the waves, the creak of the boat. Jesus, I'm scared. Jesus, I'm terrified. Jesus, I'm going to be sick. I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is set on me, waking or sleeping. Jesus, can you swim? Jesus, we're sinking. Jesus, do something. Wake up. Jesus, come on, help us. Shh. Oh, where's your faith? Even your little faith. In the storm, in the darkness, I am with you. Let the waves roar, but don't be distressed. Otherwise, you may never hear me saying, peace, be still. Our second reading today comes from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. With the coming of evening, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us cross over to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took Jesus, just as he was, in the boat. And there were other boats with them. Then it began to blow a gale, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was almost swamped. But Jesus was in the stern, his head on the cushion, asleep. They woke Jesus up and said, "Teacher, do you not care? We are going down." And Jesus woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Quiet now, be calm." And the wind dropped, and all was calm again. Then Jesus said to them, "Why are you so frightened? How is it that you have no faith?" They were filled with awe and said to one another, "Who can this be? Even the wind and the sea obey him."
I was living in Melbourne in my early 20s. I was part of a youth group, Explorers, at North Baldwin Methodist Church. Together we explored a lot: faith, worship, relationships, and the Victorian Alps. Wayne, Roz and I were hiking near the Wanangatta Valley, near Terrible Hollow, near the Devil's Staircase. I sat alone watching the clouds rise from the valleys below. The sunlight on them made it a spectacularly beautiful sight. All was calm. All was bliss. Suddenly, a shout from Ross. "Lorraine, Wayne has had a fall." He had cut his knee open on a rock. It was pretty bad. A rush of fear came over me. Here we were, many, many miles from any help, and no mobile phones in those days. What were we going to do? Wayne had shown leadership in previous hikes. He had helped me in previous hikes overcome the fear of coming across a snake and also overcoming exhaustion. But here, he was the injured one. I wondered what we were going to do. You see, Wayne was the injured one on this hike. But he spoke up. And with Roz carrying her pack a short distance and Wayne and going back for Wayne's, and with me carrying my pack and supporting Wayne, we set off. It was going to be a very long day, and it was going to take a long time to get down that very steep mountain. Would we get down by nightfall? You know, someone must have been praying, because we hadn't gone very far when a scout group happened upon us. They took our packs down to the back of, bottom of the mountain, and then Roz went ahead to get the car and I helped Wayne down the rest of the mountain. I did whatever I could to put his mind off the pain that he was in. I did a lot of singing that day. The sillier the song, the better. What an experience. It really bonded us together. You know, when I joined that group of explorers, I was so shy. I found it really difficult to make friends. I'm so glad I persevered over and overcame that fear, because those friends I have faith in, and they became friends for life. Facing fear and finding faith is the theme for this morning's gospel reading about the stilling of the storm. The story begins on that day when evening had come. He said to them, "Let us go across the other side." Evening sets the scene of darkness and foreboding. Jesus was taking the disciples out of their comfort zone, from all that was familiar and Jewish, pure, clear, clean and holy, to the other side of the sea, to the unfamiliar, to Gentile territory, with all its risks of uncleanliness and demons. And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. The crowd was pressing, and this was a way of escape. In the boat, they could move from the shore into deeper waters. Jesus could rest. Other boats were with him. But the crowd was persistent. Jesus had whetted their interest and they wanted to hear more. Jesus needs to have a break from the crowd, a time apart. The sea and the storm symbolise all that is out of control and evil. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. What a contrast. All hell is breaking loose around him in the boat, and Jesus is asleep on a cushion. This calm symbolises that Jesus is the master who comes to take control of the evil forces. Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah who has come to overcome evil. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" The disciples are dependent on Jesus to secure their future destiny. Jesus is trying to prepare the disciples for when he won't be there with them. So we have a bit of a battle here. The disciples clinging to Jesus and relying on him to get them out of trouble. And Jesus saying, "What are you going to do when I'm not here? Will you rely on your own resources? Will you have faith in your own ability? Will you have faith in God's abundant love for you?" Let's put ourselves into the story. Our lives can be moving along smoothly when suddenly something pops up out of nowhere and then we are shaken up and full of fear. We are invited here into the centre of the storm. We are invited here to stop and look at what it is that we are afraid of. We are invited here to wake Jesus up and cry out for help. Fears that Jesus faced, fears the disciples faced, fears the people of the first century faced, and fears that we face here and now in this place. And time and faith. 2,000 years seems but a speck of sand in the hourglass of time. We, as human beings in this cosmos, still face fears much the same as those people faced back in the first century. How do we live decent lives under the authority of the government of the day? How can we be inclusive of all people? How can we seek justice both personally and systematically? How can we respect other people and also the environment, our land we call Earth? How can we live with grace and compassion? The journey of our lives continues. We are being challenged to allay our panic, to go to the stern of the boat by setting aside some time and space to sort ourselves out. Will we remain with our fears, or will we take time out to face them? We are encouraged to spend that time with the divine mystery, the source of our being, the God within, the God without, the God in between. The divine mystery for me helps to bring both human and divine together, so that I am, as Michael Morwood puts it, a co-creator on this earth. What I and every other living creature do is important to the creation as a whole. He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm.
Now it is time to do something about the crisis. Will we remain with our fears, or will we take time out to face them? Will we allay the panic by going to the stern of our boat? Will we set some time and space to sort ourselves out? We each of us need to find what it is that is helpful for us as time out. For me, that is meditation or reflection. I like to breathe in love and allow it to go to the very tips of my fingers and smile and relax. Can things really be that bad? God is love. Love is the only way to God. Love is infectious, the greatest healer. Jesus speaks love into the disciples' fear. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Fear and faith converge. Here we do have a choice. We can do something. For us today, fear and faith are highly relevant. Fear has the potential to confuse, to depress. Holding the two words together, fear and faith, can help us to remember that the faith part has to do with getting in touch with the divine mystery. Time out. We can channel our fears to good, into loving and trusting. Connecting with the divine mystery, feeling in awe of God, helps above all else to dispel our fear. Jesus remains in authority. Jesus remains in the place of calm. Jesus remains in the place of firm faith. And we are encouraged to find that place of calm also. Jesus persists. He does more. He teaches the disciples by saying, "Don't you have faith yet?" Here is the crux of the matter. Do you believe in me? Do you believe I am in touch with the divine? The disciples, for the first time, realised that this was no ordinary person that they were hanging out with. This was someone extraordinary. They had every right to be filled with awe. Jesus revealed to the disciples a sign of his human care for them by saving them. But his care for them went beyond this point, pointing towards the mystery, the divine. The disciples were touched to the core of their hearts. Jesus cared about their whole being as a person. When I am touched right to the core of my heart and feel connection, then I feel reassured and enter a place of peace. This is a sign of someone's love and care for me. And yet, it also takes me beyond to a heavenly feeling of being at peace. When I hear a beautiful piece of music, it immediately transports me to that heavenly realm. The music is the sign that takes me to that other place. When I walk along fern-clad paths with 100-metre-high mountain ash trees soaring above me and a soft breeze cooling me, I feel a sense of awe. Nature is a sign, a pointer to that which is mystery. And yes, I believe in miracles. Miracles which suddenly appear from the place of chaos to touch and reassure us. I remember being at Mum's funeral, standing next to my dad. Dad, overcome with grief, was struggling to sing the hymn. I took his hand. Together, we managed to gain strength from each other and sang the hymn on that sad day. I felt it was a miracle that some sense of feeling, touch, love could go from me to my dad and uplift him. Yes, I believe in miracles. Where there is love, God's special gift to us, there are miracles. Faith. Yes, I have faith. To be a person of faith is to believe that you can make a difference and to work at making that happen. From little things, big things grow. Faith is like a muscle. Use it and it will grow. Looking back, there have been times of lacking faith in my own ability. Once I was invited to be accompanist for a concert. Nerves had often caused me to lose it when performing, and so I felt afraid of letting the soloist down. At that time, I was seeing a spiritual director, and he said to me, "You can do it." This made a difference to me. This helped me to realise that once I had prepared myself as best I could, I needed then to trust in my own ability to perform. Four little words, "You can do it," made a big difference in facing that challenge. I think Jesus has faith in us. Jesus knows we can do it. God's abundant love and compassion for us overwhelms us, fills us with a deep yearning to praise, to give something back to this amazing cosmos in which we live. We can do it. We can do it together in this place.
and for that shy girl of her early 20s, trying to find her sense of identity, her sense of belonging. Me. It meant making new friends and exploring with them the high places and bonding with them with care and with love. And it means much the same thing even all these years later. I have entered into the story. I have claimed the story. We need to enter into the story to go forward in faith. We have entered into the story. Let us now go Let us now live the story with God at the helm. Amen.